From Nashville, Tennessee, this is the Campfire Cafe on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network.
Albuquerque, New Mexico, is our always vivacious co-host, Miss Bobby Bell. Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning, Gary. Do you know what today, National Day, you know how there's those fun national things that happen, you know, every day on the National Day calendar. Do you know what today is?
I'm almost afraid to ask.
It's Devil's what is Food it? Cake It's Devil's Food Cake Day.
Oh, that one I can go for. That'll be all right.
Yeah. That I could go for some right now. How are you?
I'm telling you. Hey, it's kind of cloudy and partly sunny here in Tennessee today, and I bet you got blue skies in Albuquerque today.
We have blue skies. It's already 80, heading up to the 90s, and still fire challenges all over the state, although we're fine here in Albuquerque. But, yeah, we're, you know, it's I don't think we had spring. I think we're just jumping right into summer.
It almost feels that way here. I think we're hitting 90 today and 92 tomorrow, setting records. But we've got all of our friends out in New Mexico and in Colorado as well in our prayers as they're dealing with these horrible fires. But we don't have that going on here in Tennessee right now, so that we're grateful for that. We have a fantastic, fantastic show today lined up. And, you know, our first guest, we're going to be talking a little bit about a 43-year love story. Who's going to be joining us today on the Campfire Cafe?
Well, calling in from your neck of the woods, we have Christopher Dwight Harris and his wife, Jan Harris. When they perform together, they're known as Rodeo and Juliet. And I want to know where that name came from.
We'll find out. We'll find out. We'll
find out.
The second hour of the show today, it's going to be all about mules because we're headed out to California to visit with our good friend, Jen Rosier, and we're going to be talking Bishop Mule Days. So that is a great celebration, and a couple of our friends performing out there, Bobby, for that. Dave Stamey and Susie Bogus are both performing there for Mule Days. So that's going to be coming up, I think, next week. But right now, let's take a listen to a great song from Rodeo and Juliet, Chris and Jan. It's one called The Adventures of Rodeo and Juliet. And we'll be back in a moment on the Campfire Cafe to talk with Chris and Jan Harris.
Julie works at the Tasty Freeze. Little paid butter nights are free. When the stars come out, then she becomes his queen. Johnny rides them bulls, you know. His truck is old and his tank is low. They call him Jay, but she just calls him Rodeo. Rodeo and Juliet, to be or not to be. In love, oh yeah, but times are hard, but no one's golden yet. Wild horses couldn't tear apart, but tied and bind together their young hearts. In love they are, Rodeo and Juliet. Take a chance, they'll ride this wild romance through all the changes of life's circumstance. 8 seconds seem so long, they can make it if they just hang on. They're gonna stay together for a whole life long. Rodeo and Juliet, to be or not to be in love, oh yeah. The times are hard, but no one's told them yet. Wild horses couldn't tear apart, but tied and bind together their young hearts. In love they are, Rodeo and Juliet. They may not have much, but they got each other's touch. And she's got his shoulder, and he loves to hold her.
Equestrian Legacy Radio Network. We just heard The Adventures of Rodeo and Juliet, performed by today's special guest, Christopher Dwight Harris and his wife, Jan Harris. Here's what author-speaker Max Licato has to say about today's featured guests, Christopher and Jan Harris, also known as the duo Rodeo and Juliet. When it comes to good hearts and great music, Chris and Jan top the charts. It has been my privilege to call them friends for over 30 years. Seize any opportunity to hear them. You won't regret it. Christopher and Jan Harris, Rodeo and Juliet, respectively, have been producing, writing, and singing for a wide array of artists. Their list reads like a who's who of music across all genres, from Stevie Ray Vaughan, Loretta Lynn, Amy Grant, Kristen Chenoweth, she's amazing, Dolly Parton, Michael W. Smith, and Cece Winans, just to name a few, for over 40 years. Throw in 15 years of writing, producing, and singing on hundreds of commercials, including Cinnamon Toast Crunch, McDonald's, and Southwest Airlines. On top of that, and this Lubbock, El Paso, Dallas, Texan boy and New York lady from Bridgeport, New York, will tell you how fortunate they have been in following their musical dreams. In addition, they also managed to raise two musically gifted sons while residing in the music city itself, Nashville, Tennessee. Please welcome to Campfire Cafe this multi-talented and, may I say, fun couple who will celebrate their 43rd anniversary this August, the duo Rodeo and Juliet, Christopher and Jan Harris. Welcome, you two.
Thank you.
Gosh, I don't know what else you guys can say. You know, I think Bobby said it all right
there. That was lovely.
Oh, so
wow. Wow. Well, welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you all so much for having us.
Very much.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys so much.
Yeah, so I've got to ask, Chris is a friend, and we've gotten together over bagels and visit on the phone from time to time. So both of you guys went to Abilene Christian, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
We did. We sure did. Back
we
in the
did.
70s.
And I'm a Lipscomb guy, so that's okay. There's
a little
thing there, between Abilene.
Okay.
Yeah, but
Gary.
Yeah,
all roads just say at the very beginning, all roads lead to Abilene.
For some reason,
everything we talk about today, we'll find our way back on horses, riding back into Abilene, Texas.
Okay, all right. But I think it was kind of interesting. You guys did not meet at Abilene Christian, did you?
Gary, we've never met in our whole life. Would you introduce us, please?
Yeah, please. I'll do that.
Okay,
How did you miss each other at Abilene?
Well,
and then when you finally met?
He was in a band called Brazos, and they did some shows to kind of promote the school, and I was in a band called Hilltoppers that promoted the school, toured around the state and area. So we knew who each other were. Am I saying that correctly? And he, in fact, was engaged to one of the girls in the group I was in.
So oh, wow.
I would see him. He was also the comedian on campus, so everybody knew. Can you imagine that?
I cannot.
So we knew who each other were. I don't know what that is. Is it were? And,
were.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And I actually was engaged to somebody my senior year. Then We both ended up in Nashville in 77 to do music. Actually, he came 77. I came 78. But I visited 77. That's where I saw him. And we just started talking for really the first time. I don't think we'd even visited before. And
oh, wow.
So I said, what are you up to? And he goes, well, I thought you were married. I said, no, that didn't happen. So he goes, what'd you say?
I said, let's go talk. So we went we went and visited and realized really fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, really fast. And we had both, I had made a commitment to the Lord that year, and my life changed just dramatically after I came to Nashville. And talked when that was so sweet of you to Bobby to read that quote from Max. And I'll tell you, Max was my roommate. Max Licata was like my roommate my sophomore junior year, and Jan actually dated Max a couple of times at college. So so it's a crazy story and a crazy journey. Just like if we start with names like Ronnie Dunn, and Jan was the group that Jan was in. Ronnie Dunn was playing bass
and singing.
Singing. Yeah.
Wow.
So
wow.
Ronnie
went to Abilene too.
Well, he went to Hardin Simmons there in Abilene, and they recruited him to come over and play bass in the band. So
I don't know if they recruited him.
He came over for a couple of years. Our journey, just starts in 77 here in Nashville downtown. And there was a spiritual retreat called Come Together that was a part of Belmont Church down on Music Row, where Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith and all these different people, Stephen Curtis Chapman and all these different singers were hanging out and writing songs. And, you know, the person that married us is now 92 and still living and alive and kicking. And he led that church down there on Music Row, which was full of a bunch of hippies and cowboys.
I was there a little before you guys.
So a lot happened during those 70s. And there were about 20 of us from Abilene Christian who all came up here and started working in music. And so that year in 77, I flew to town and went straight to the studio and sang on Amy Grant's first record. So that's where my journey started that once I finally moved here. So
Well, I'm glad you guys met, and it's such a stinking small world where things come together, and you guys had to wait until you got to Nashville to connect. But I want to take a pause and come back more about this 43-year love affair. But right now I want to get to another song, and it's so cool because this one is called The El Paso Kid and the New York Lady, and we'll be back in just a moment on Campfire Cafe. Here we go.
Life of a gambler.
another thrill. Just when they thought the thrill was gone.
Rodeo and Juliet, and they are our special guest today, Christopher and Jan Harris. I have so many questions. Okay, so the first thing I have to say after listening to that song is your music is so lush. The melodies, the cinematic sounds that we just heard. I remember some singles, Christopher, that you released through Horsefly Music within the last couple of years. So unique and distinctive. Tell us a little bit about what you love to put together when you're working on a song.
Well, I think a lot of it goes back to, I do listen to a lot of, I listen to a lot of soundtrack music, but being born in Midland, Texas, I don't know, I just had this, this whole thing with, and a lot of us, are madly in love with all those Roy Orbison tracks. And,
oh, yeah.
The Orbison songs were so dramatic and so melodic, and of course, we give so much credit to growing up in church where we sang a cappella hymns, and then we mm-hmm. listened to mm-hmm. so much music in the 60s as little kids, and so we were so about harmonies and melodies. Of course, the chairman of the board was Paul McCartney, for all of us kids in the 60s. But then, the love and affection for country music and for really Western music really came from, really in 1969, I heard Merle Haggard and Buck Owens and started getting all those records. And of course, Marty Robbins, because we lived in El Paso as kids. I lived there from 60 to 69 as a little kid. And all of that, with your question, just saying, we just love, I'm still a sucker for a great melody. And then mm-hmm. I've gotten to do so many sessions with orchestras. I've actually got to cut the Irish Film Orchestra, and have had had enough budget to cut a 50-piece orchestra here in town when I produce C.C. Winans. And I don't know, it's just a real love for dramatic hooks mm-hmm. and big melodies. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then my second question before we go on to the next song is I just have to know how you both decided to call your duo Rodeo and Juliet.
Well, thanks for asking. I wanted to write a song for Roy Orbison, but he was dead, so that wasn't going to work. So I was with Paul Overstreet, who's written a lot of Randy Travis mm-hmm. hits and is famous for writing "She Thinks My Tractor's Sexy," and so I went with Paul, and I go, "Hey," and he also wrote, you know, "Love Build a Bridge," "Love Will Build a Bridge," that the Winona sang this last weekend at Naomi's. At her tribute for her life, and so, you know, I said, "Paul, I want to write a song called Rodeo and Juliet." And so we thought, well, we could pitch it to the maybe to the Mavericks. And so, as Jan and I 12 years ago, you know, said, "What do we want to do?" We hadn't really sung together because I've been writing and producing everybody else. And I said, "Why don't we take this song that I wrote?" And why don't we, I'll be Rodeo and you be Juliet, and we'll go out and try to, you know, encourage people to hang in through the good, the bad, and the ugly. So that's the long
story. I'll be Rodeo and you'll be, that's a great story.
Thank you.
Well, I think Gary is going to play an award-winning song next. You want to tell us a little bit about Old Range Cowboy? And then, Gary, am I right? That's what we're going to hear next?
Yeah, that's going to be it.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, this is such a great opportunity to really give a shout out and thanks to a gentleman named Steve Thomas, who lives in California and has a house in western Colorado where we got to go live for a few years. And that's the town where John Wayne and Glenn Campbell were in True Grit, and it's called Ridgeway, Colorado. Well, Steve Thomas, he has had these ideas for songs. He's the one that called me up the first time and said, "Hey, what about a song called Heidi Ho Montana? Because I'm sitting in a deer blind at 4 o'clock in the morning and I hear these cowboys out in the distance singing Heidi Ho." And he goes, "Can we write a song about the Old Range Cowboy?" And I know he was thinking a lot about a man named Jack Roddy, who was the steer wrestling champion in 1966 and 68. And I know he said, you know, could we write a song, you know, we actually wrote a couple of songs. And so this Old Range Cowboy is really about somebody like Jack Roddy, and he's not going to be satisfied just, you know, sitting with a remote and yelling at the TV as he gets older. So, that's kind of where the song, really where it came from. And I just wanted to thank Steve Thomas for the idea. And then I got with a guy named Jim Weber, who's an unbelievable lyricist. And I'd also give a shout out to Wayne Kirkpatrick, who helped us write The El Paso Kid and The New York Lady. And Wayne wrote Something Rotten on Broadway. And, what's the new one that he just, and Mrs. Doubtfire that's on Broadway.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and Wayne actually wrote the song of the year in '97, "Change the World," for Eric Clapton. You know that song?
Oh wow! Uh-huh.
Yes. Wow.
So anyway, we I'm saying all this to go like, look what God has given us, these opportunities to write with all these Grammy award-winning, unbelievable Hall of Fame songwriters, and we're so, so grateful. So some of these cowboy songs are coming from some tall cotton. So.
Well, here we go. Let's take a listen to Old Range Cowboy, and we'll be back in just a moment with Rodeo and Juliet.
Under heaven's dome, after a long day's ride, we'll pitch our saddles round the old campfire. Watch the sparks climb higher and higher. I'll tell you stories that used to be, when wild was normal and cowboys still rode free. 'Cause I'm an old range cowboy, remembering tracks I left behind. I'm still riding those trails I've ridden for a long, long time. And as the sunset fades, I see it all in my mind.
boots and my saddle are worn. Winter's in my bones. This may be my last horse yet, but I'm riding with no regret. I'll be riding through memories, where every story's a trail for you to see. 'Cause I'm an old range cowboy, remembering tracks I left behind. I'm still riding those trails I've ridden for a long, long time. And as the sunset fades, I see it all in my. Mountains and back again, till you get to that ocean shore, where they say you can't ride no more. But if you leave the trail as you go, where every track is there for someone to follow. I'm an old range cowboy, remembering tracks I left behind. I'm still riding those trails I've ridden for a long, long time. And as the sunset fades, I see them all in my.
That is Rodeo and Juliet, Chris and Jan Harris, and it's Old Range Cowboy. So as I was taking a listen to this and listening to a few more of these songs, Jan, I wanted to ask you, how did you get started in music?
Oh, wow. Like I breathed it in my first breath.
Yeah.
If I take you back two generations real quick, my great-grandfather was a violin maker, of course, played violin, and came from Germany at 21 years old to America. On the ship, he serenaded this beautiful woman and ended up marrying her.
Ooh.
And,
wow.
So they started out in Syracuse, New York, and then my grandpa played guitar and harmonica, but not he was a welder by trade. Well, then my dad he was all about it. We bought one of the first stereos that came out. I was five when the piano rolled in the house. There are five kids. He said he'd buy each one of us an instrument of our choice. And we all picked an instrument as we got old enough. So by five, I was playing the piano. Because my mom said,
wow,
you're not touching the piano unless you take 8 years of piano lessons. No, five.
Oh, wow.
So we all said, okay, we'll do that. So anyway, it just was saturated in our family. And my older brother is a genius composer, classical music, unbelievable stuff. And
wow,
my younger brother, Mark Heimerman, some people might be familiar with, he and Chris worked together on a lot of the, Mark wrote a lot of the DC Talk stuff with Toby. So DC Talk, who else did you guys?
Toby Mac.
Yes. Toby Mac. But who else Jackie did you guys? Jackie Velasquez. Who else did Mark write for? Anyway, so yeah, I've just been soaked in it. And then I married this guy that so gifted. And I never dreamed we'd sing together. And, gosh, we're having so much fun.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, it's just interesting to find out how people got started. Did you have musical influences as you were growing up as far as your singing?
Well, yes. And when he talks about the 60s, of course, my sister and I gravitated to the Beatles even before my older brother. Mamas and Papas, gosh, I had Harry Nilsson's first album. That was my first album at 14. What did you say?
30. Oh, wow.
Oh, then at school, I was in every musical group, band and vocal. And so we would learn all the songs from the 40s, and our teachers were teaching us that stuff. So big band stuff I love. But harmonies are such a big deal. Mamas and Papas and, you know, Everly Brothers. Goes on and on. But I was a major in college. I was a voice major in college for 2 years and realized I could still sing without a degree, and I switched majors. So it's just always been a part of my life.
Oh, wow. Well, you have a beautiful voice, and we're going to get to another song that you have done. And I don't want to screw this title up. It's The Thousand Kisses. But how do you pronounce this? Mil Besos?
Mil Besos.
Mil Besos. A beautiful song. Romeo and Juliet. And this is featuring Zan. So we'll be back in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
Es por eso que mi vida tiene una razón. No sé si fue la mirada de tus ojos que le dio a tus labios ese de mi corazón. Yo sé que en los mil besos que te da una boca se me hirió el corazón. Si alguien no es de acuerdo, eso no me preocupa, sé que tengo razón. Pero qué de importarme todo lo que me digas, no te olvida. No importa lo que pase, te seguiré amando, todo el mundo sabrá. Te de seguir amando, te de seguir besando, aunque me vuelva loca, hasta que me devuelva corazón en besos, yo te dejé en la boca. Se me hirió el corazón. Si a quien no es de acuerdo, eso no me preocupa, sé que tengo razón. Pero qué de importarme, todo lo que me digas no te he de olvidar. No me importa lo que pase, que se quiere mando y todo el mundo sabrá. Te de seguir amando, te de seguir besando, aunque me vuelva loca. Hasta que me devuelva el corazón que en besos yo te dejé en la boca.
Gracias. To her all the time. Beautiful.
It's so
beautiful.
Sweet. Appreciate it.
Well, I love that song, Thousand Kisses. I'm going to tell my wife about that when she gets home. But beautiful. Beautiful. Well, Chris, I first became aware of you when a friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours, Lance Cowan, had sent out Heidi Ho Montana. And love that song. And then I caught you and Jan on Coffee, Country, and Cody one morning being interviewed and performed this song. So, again, it's a small, small world because Lance Cowan is responsible for the very first performer that I had on the Campfire Cafe, and that was Michael Mark Murphy. Because I had just decided I was doing a radio show, and it had been about 6 months, and I thought it was about horses. And I decided, I needed to bring some music to the show. And so I thought, I like Wildfire. I'd like Michael Martin Murphy. And my brother said, I go to church with this guy that I think manages him or works with him. Uh-huh. And that was Lance Cowan. So Murph was my first guest, and I had him on many, many, many times. And then Lance was responsible for connecting us. And and you were on the show with Steve Thomas, and we talked about Heidi Ho Montana, and we talked about the song that Kristen Harris had done, and Ryan Murphy. And, so you are just producing everybody. I just saw you post something about Dennis Quaid. And I didn't know Dennis lived here in Nashville, but I'd seen him on the Opry several times. Murph's Austinology deal, didn't you?
Yeah, and that, again, I think Lance Cowan, to mention him, he's just, what a great songwriter he is, and so many people don't know that. And I go, gosh, he promotes radio and promotes artists. And is just a dear, dear heart, and we love him so much. And, when I was in the studio doing this Austinology project, and we were able to get Willie Nelson, Lyle Lovett, Steve Earle, and we had Amy Grant sing the duet Wildfire with Michael Martin Murphy. And the quick story is being in the studio, which, again, Steve Thomas really opened the door for this project that Murphy wanted to do about all the music in Austin during the late 60s and 70s, when that thing was just exploding with singer-songwriters like Jerry Jeff Walker and Townes Van Zandt. And so I'm in the studio, and I'm going, wait a second. I met Michael Murphy when I was 16 years old in Dallas and went to see him. And I'm with Amy Grant, and she was 16 years old when I sang on her first record. And by the way, Jan was in Amy Grant's first band when we got to town. That was like 1980 or 81, right after we got married. She went on the road with Amy. But, you know, it was just so crazy to be there and cutting Wildfire after all these years. And then to be cutting Cosmic Cowboy and Geronimo's Cadillac with my musical hero from, you know, from 1971, 2, and 3, and 4. I go, God, you are unbelievable to give me this gift. And so I'm so grateful for that Austinology project.
Well, and then I think, too, you have a new studio that you're working with. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, this studio is just a godsend, and my buddy Chris Thomason, who actually worked at, he and I back in the 80s, we were working for this company called Hummingbird, right? And we worked on just about almost every national commercial during the 80s, which really allowed us to work with all these artists from, you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan to Asleep at the Wheel, Clint Black, Dolly Parton, Loretta Lynn. I mean, my goodness. I'm producing Loretta Lynn on a Crisco commercial. What was that all about? And so all of that to say, Chris Thomason, my buddy, ends up buying this building over here. This has just a lovely studio, and he invited me to come over and hang my hat. And so we're going to start making more records. So we're going to do that. And then all the film and television, the songs were really – starting a publishing company that really will go after, you know, songs for film and TV. So,
wow.
You know, it's right here in Franklin in Cool Springs. But we probably would say, we'd love to produce your record and we'll bring you over to the house and make enchiladas for you.
gosh.
Hook, line, and sinker.
That's pretty tempting right there. That's pretty tempting right there. Golly.
Well, I just want to jump in for a second?
Yeah, go ahead, Bobby.
Can I just jump in for a second? Chris, I found the website for this Insight Studios, and you have such a variety of studio rooms and spaces. Of course, I don't know what any of that equipment is. But so fun to take a look at these studio spaces. And to our listeners out there, if you need a place to do a podcast, to do a video, to, you know, you need to get a hold of, I'm going to give the website. It's insightstudios.com, and Insight is INCIITE studios.com. And you need to go take a look at this place. This is amazing.
It is. We're so grateful. You know, we're really going to kick in and start doing, you know, the hottest thing going right now is Atmos, you know, mixing for Atmos, which is multiple speakers, you know, so, and enhanced audio. So that's a big, big deal. And so we're going to have one of those rooms finished in about a week. And it's just, it's an amazing studio, and so many people have worked there over the past 20 years. But my buddy, I'm so glad he was able to purchase this right here in the heart of Franklin. And it's just, just only after a few months for King & Country, Chris Tomlin, and then Dennis Quaid. And it's just, Nicole Kidman's recorded there, and Carrie Underwood, and it's just a great, great place to be, and it's in good hands. And this guy, my buddy, he ran Integrity Records Music for like 15 years. So he's the one who opened the door for me to work with Kristen Chenoweth, and we're actually just going to have a blast. So
You even have a writer's room. Writing is an art, and our goal is to provide an inspiring place to develop your music or script. Oh, my goodness.
Well, how about this? Last week I wrote a song with Leslie Satcher, and Leslie came over, and then we were writing with a girl in California. We did a Zoom write, and Leslie, she wrote Troubadour for George Strait. She wrote House of Cash. She's had cuts by Merle Haggard and George Jones and Willie Nelson and tons of artists, right?
She's a great singer,
and
too.
And she's a great singer. One of my favorite duets that she does with Glenn Campbell on the Louvin Brothers project, Livin', Lovin', Losin', or Lyin', Lovin', Louvin'. But she sings a song with Glenn Campbell, and her name's Leslie Satcher. You can look her up. And she's from Paris, Texas. And that's absolutely what Insight Studios is really all about. And what, you know, what's fun, Bobby, is that, and Gary, is just that now, you know, we've all been in our bedroom making records for the past 10 years. It's just like,
yeah.
Oh, good. It's so good to be in community and to have these five rooms to be able to host people and really just get back to making records like we used to make. And we will make a certain amount of what we call laptop pop, but country and American roots music is really made with human beings, and we have the facility to be able to do that. So we're very grateful, so grateful.
Very exciting.
That is great. That is great. Well, look, I want to get to a couple more songs real quick. We're just about to run out of time for this first hour, but I do want to get to this one. This is one called When I Look at You. Let's take a listen to that. We'll be back in just a moment to talk more with Chris and Jan today on the Campfire Cafe.
You were coming out, I was going in, but I turned around when I saw you grin. You always do. When I look at you, I felt the lightning bolt shoot through my heart. It skipped a beat like a falling star, and I know it's true. When I look at you, when I look at you, everything's okay. Baby, shelter me like a hiding place. Hold me in your eyes while the storm is coming through. When I look at you, like a photograph and a piece of tape, you're stuck in my mind and there's no escape. And I don't wanna move. When I look at you, you were a butterfly caught up in my net. I gave you wings on the day we met, and I know it's true. When I look at you, when I look at you, I don't feel alone. When you hold me tight, then I know I'm home. Deep inside your eyes, I can see the moon. When I look at you, shelter me like a hiding place. Hold me in your eyes while the storm is coming through. When I look at you, I don't feel alone. When you hold me tight, then I know I'm home. Deep inside your eyes, I can see the moon.
When I look at you, Rodeo and Juliet.
Ooh.
And Chris, Chris and Jan, you guys are just awesome. It has been so much fun to have you on the show today and visit with
you. You're so sweet to have us.
What a love story. Well, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
And,
I love that song.
Well, there's pretty good folks that were singing it and performing it. So anyway.
Well, and I have to give a shout out to Phil Madeira who helped me write that. And Phil plays in Emmylou Harris's band, so that's crazy. And you know what, Gary? That guitar that you hear, that gut string on there, that gut string belongs to Gordon Kennedy and his dad. And I asked Gordon, I said, when we were doing overdubs, I said, hey, Gordon, did your dad play the guitar on Riding My Thumb to Mexico by Johnny Rodriguez? He goes, I'll be right back. And he went and got that guitar. And he brought it out and he brings the guitar and he goes, guess what else my dad played this guitar on? He goes, he played it on Roger Miller records that his dad produced. And he goes, he said this guitar was used on Marty Robbins records. And he said Roy Orbison came back from Spain and brought Chet Atkins and his dad, Jerry Kennedy, those guitars. He said, we keep it locked up.
Oh, wow. Well,
so,
I got
to
tell
you,
I'd come riding down through Hendersonville, headed into town, and I can't tell you how many mornings that I would be coming down on Gallatin Road, and Roy Orbison would pass me in his little red Mercedes convertible. Cool deal.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, well, you guys have absolutely been great. Well, you come back and see us, and just a joy to have you with us. How can people contact you, find you?
Well,
you have
it's
a website
for me. You can look me up at chproducer@gmail.com or chproducer.com. You can look up Rodeo and Juliet at Rodeo and JulietMusic.com and
email rodeoandjuliet@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Simple.
So you can find them. And by the way, it's rodeo and you spell out the and. I had used the symbol for and. That doesn't work. It's A&D. So Rodeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have been absolutely fantastic. And we're going to close out this segment of the show today with the song that introduced me to you, and it's Heidi Ho Montana. And come back and see us. Thank you so much.
Thank
for
you.
Being with us today.
Love you, Bobby.
Thank you, Bobby.
Love you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All the cowboys have gathered in the dark before dawn, 'cause the big sky is changing now that summer's long gone, and the ruby's red waters are reflecting the sky, because winter is coming tonight. And there's a storm on the mountain, full of thunder and snow, and the herd has to move to safe pastures below. So at first light the cowboys are driving them home, and they sing as they move them along. Heidi-ho, Montana, beneath the big sky, your high shining mountains are bright and alive. Heidi-ho, Montana, full of garnets and gold, and your sun sing a song to your sweet big sky soul. Oh, the winter awakens the call of the wild. Gobblers are gobbling, and the geese on the rise.
All the deer join the dance as the rut has begun, with the song of the cowboys, the stars and the sun. While he's riding mighty tall in life's circumstance, he'd rope that old storm if given a chance. And with a nugget of wisdom on this hard cattle drive, the spirit of the cowboy is well and alive. Hidey-ho, Montana, beneath the big sky, your high-shining mountains are bright and alive. Hidey-ho, Montana, full of garnets and gold, and your sun sing a song to your sweet big sky soul. And then a voice deep as God, you can hear the earth sing, like a howl from the canyon that will never be tamed. For it's not about the money, silver or gold, but the secrets of life only hard lands can hold. Hidey-ho, Montana, beneath the big sky, your high shining mountains are bright and alive. Hidey-ho, Montana, full of garnets and gold, and your sun sing a song to your sweet big sky soul. Hidey-ho.
Well, it's time now for Saddle Up America on the Equestrian Legacy Network. When we come back, we're going to be talking about mules. We'll be talking with Bishop Mule Days producer Jen Rozier in just a moment on Saddle Up America.
Mule Train!
Mule Train!
Clopping over hill and plain, seems as how they never stop. Clippity clop, clippity clop, clippity 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 clopping along. There's a plug, a charter, backy for a rancher in Corona, a guitar for a cowboy way out in Arizona, a dress of calico for a pretty Navajo, and get along. Clopping on the mountain chain, seems they never reach the top. Clippity clop, clippity clop, clippity 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 clopping along. There's some cotton thread and needle for the folks away out yonder, a shovel for a miner who left his home to wander, some rheumatism pills for the settlers in the hills. Get along. Clopping through the wind and rain, they'll keep going till they drop. Clippity clop, clippity clop, clippity 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 clopping along.
There's a Stromberg for the Ranger, and for Woody there's a fiddle, an accordion for Joey, playing both ends in the middle. There's a mushy note for Slim, I guess Roberta's writing him. Get along.
Up America. This is Riders in the Sky with Mule Train. He kind of tickled me when he said the price of gas at $4. I would like to see that. But
right.
Oh, gosh. We're going to talk about everything about mules and let you know everything there is to know about something that's on everybody's bucket list, and that is Bishop Mule Days. Our good friend Jen Rozier is with us today to tell us all about that. So, by the way, Jen, how much is gas out in California right now?
Oh, Gary, don't even. We talked $6 a gallon, diesel's a little more. Yeah, that's kind of statewide. There's places in a few of our counties where it's hit $7. But right here in Inyo County, we're right in the $6-$6.39 range.
But
people should not let that deter them, right? It's worth the price.
That is exactly right. That is exactly right. That is exactly right. But anyway, well, thanks for being with us today. I've got to ask, and I did not remember, but I was trying to remember, did the pandemic postpone Mule Day any for the last 2 years?
No. So we postponed in 2020, but we held an event last year, 2021. To be honest, I think we were the first event out of the blocks in California last year. I will just tell you, it took a lot of work and a lot of effort, a lot of dedication, a lot of patience, because our event is held on a state fairgrounds. And as you know, the state had a lot of mandates and requirements and restrictions that were not on events to go forward. We complied with everything. Our county worked hard with us and advocated for us to move forward responsibly, and we did so and had a tremendous event. I can't remember if we talked, but many people, when we postponed 2020, instead of asking for a refund, did what we called pay it forward. More than 60% of our vendors, our sponsors, and our visitors who buy tickets to the event paid it forward, and that allowed us
great.
To make it through the year, because we didn't, you know, have, there was no other support, right? So we made it through. We put on a little bit of a tightened down budget event last year, but it was a huge success. And you know what? People were so excited to come out. We even had a last-minute thing the week before Mule Days where the state said people coming from out of state would have to show proof of vaccination. So people were canceling and whatnot. At the end of the day, people said, oh, the heck with it, and they came anyway. And we had a great event. It was a park. So people come together to celebrate good things, and people love mules, and people love good old-fashioned wholesome fun, and that's what we did.
That is fantastic. So let's talk a little bit. Now we've got a worldwide audience. A minute ago I was just telling off the air, I was just telling Chris and Jan that we now have listeners in, believe it or not, Russia and China that are listening to the show.
Wow.
But for the folks around the world and Canada and the U.S. that may not be familiar with Mule Days, tell us, when did it get started, and what can people come and see?
Oh, you bet. So favorite thing to talk about. So Mule Days got started the very first year in 1970, and a group of packers, and for people that don't know that, what that is, these are outfitters or guides who facilitate trips into the wilderness areas of the High Sierra using horses and mules. Packers got together and decided, hey, we need to do something to celebrate on Memorial Day weekend. Vacancy in a number of the hotels and campgrounds around the Eastern Sierra was pretty low, next to nothing in a lot of places. Wasn't a lot of visitation. Let's promote and celebrate an event that people would love to come see. And of course, packers thought, why not celebrate the mule? We love mules. They've been a huge part of our culture here for well over 120 years. They've been a big part of all of our livelihoods. And, of course, they're just a beloved animal, right? Packers organized this event with the help of the local Chamber of Commerce, and off it went. And that was 52 years ago now. So we're on our 50th annual event. And we just kept going. So here's what people can expect. Obviously, it's grown over the years, and Mule Days has contributed to our little fairgrounds and made it an amazing venue. So we have obviously a parade. It was at one time in the Guinness Book of World Records as the longest non-motorized parade in the world. And, we have mule shows that run for 6 days. They start on Tuesday and run through Sunday. So there's mule shows all week long. And this is just a mixture of anything you would see at a horse show, but also anything you might see at a rodeo or a gymkhana or an Americana festival. We have driving, we have teamsters, we have log skidding, we have dressage mules, jumping mules, English mules, Western mules, trail mules. We have lots of packing events. And I'll tell you, Gary, this is what sets us apart, because there are now many Mule Days events around the country, and that's our packing events. And that's where packers from the local Sierra come around and gather to celebrate before we head to the mountains. We have some amazing challenges and events of skill, and some amazing events of sheer madness and chaos. So it's a lot of fun. We have vendors. We have a lot of vendors that come and show their wares. We have kids events, youth events. The list just goes on and on. We have a concert this year. We're hosting Susie Boggess and her team. Oh my gosh, she's got some new songs out that are going to be really fun to hear. We have a Sunday evening, just kind of enjoy after the event, gather together the memories for the following year with Dave Stamey and Larry Maurice, and a number of other entertainers will be kind of gracing the stage throughout the weekend for ambiance. We just have a lot going on.
Oh, it's so cool. Well, I knew that our friend Susie Boggess and Dave Stamey were going to be out there again, and Dave has done this event several years, hasn't he?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Well, I don't know if I've told you that Dave used to work for my husband and I back before he was a big star. And
I didn't know that. I knew he packed. Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah. He and his wife started out as customers on our horse drive. We had an annual every spring and fall a horse drive. And one night, just sitting around, we had a local guy playing a guitar, and Dave picked up a guitar, and before you knew it, there was a little group that formed, and they cut the first album together, actually. It was Dave Stamey and his little sidekicks from the horse drive, and a few years later, he came back to pack for us at the pack station, and then by then, his career just took off. So he's been a longtime friend of Mule Days. He's been here, gosh, since his career started, and we just love him over here.
Yeah, he's such a neat guy. My wife performed with him in Genoa two weeks ago, I think it was. You know, on the same festival that they were having out there. But
that's
Dave's
an amazing
great guy.
I love Genoa. That's a beautiful place. Perfect.
Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah, it is neat. But I think one of the things that's kind of cool about Bishop Mule Days, don't you have? How many mules do you have pulling that wagon?
So we have kind of the only historical recreation of the Death Valley type 20 mule team. So we have the 20 mule team that's put together by one of our local teamsters here. And we have had that team in Washington, D.C. We've had that team in the Rose Parade. And it's kind of the Bishop Mule Days 20 mule team. The wagons they pull were recreated by an organization called the Death Valley Conservancy as absolute replicas of the original borax wagons that were used to haul borax out of Death Valley from the 1880s onward. And, you know, in borax, that was, it was a huge part of Borax Company's marketing campaign was the 2014.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, they traveled. Yeah, there was Gene Autry's movie, but they traveled all over the country in 1917 and then again in the 40s to promote the movie. Yeah, it's quite a thing to see.
I think I can remember they had some character named Ronald Reagan that used to do the TV show, yeah. Wasn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, not only that, but Ronald Reagan was, yeah, he was the host of Death Valley Days. He later became the governor of California, and as everybody knows, the president of the United States. He came here as our Grand Marshal in 1974 and rode in our parade. He was an amazing guy.
Cool.
We all remember him as kids. That was a long time ago.
How cool.
Yeah.
I want to get to another mule song. This is kind of cute. This is one by Kristen Harris. We just did the first one was by Riders in the Sky, but this was one that Kristen Harris did. It's called The Mule Song, and we're going to come back and talk more with you today on Saddle Up Here.
I love the mountains. I love the moon. Between a window in the clouds, when it comes poking through against the sky, purple hue instead of blue. I love the sunshine down by the stream bed at noon, and the echo off the canyon makes one voice become two. Need a mule. Anytime I want to, I could gain altitude. He'd carry me to places no horse could get to, and he would rarely throw a shoe. He might be stubborn, but I am too. Or I could pack him with some gear and some food, and find a spot to build a fire and stare at the view you could come to. But you'd need a mule. Now I ain't saying I'll be trading horses in, but if I could have both, now would it be a sin? 'Cause when I'm low and need to go where the air is thin, here's a clue. For you, I need a mule. He'll have big ears and an opinion or two, but he'll keep me on my toes just like a good friend would do. Yeah, it's true, I need a a couple mares with a pair of jacks, and I'll feel like a queen when I'm driving them as a team, or leading them in a stream. And those big ears, I'll give a scratching or two, 'cause they'll listen to me yodel like a good friend would tell. Yeah, it's true, I need a mule. yes I do. You need a mule if you only knew how I need a mule.
Kristen Harris, the mule song. And so what do you think, Jen? Do they need a mule?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And she's right. You know, you don't have to trade in your horse, but you need both.
You could use both. Hey, it's real funny. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday, and we were talking about campgrounds and places that people go. And he was telling me about this one campground. He said, I will not take my horse on those trails. But he said, I would a mule.
Yeah.
Because,
sure,
you know, there is a difference, isn't there?
There sure is, yeah. And you know, back in your country, boy, some of the best mules come from right around Tennessee, Gallatin area. There's some of the best mules.
Oh, the Reese Brothers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
that's where
Reese
most of
Brothers.
Our mules out here come from. Yep, good stock. Everybody needs one.
Yeah, it's really cool because people have been crossing these Tennessee walking horse mares with jacks and getting some gated mules. And those are pretty cool.
Yeah.
Those are pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do you have a few of those out there?
Oh, you know, there's some. I think we get. I'll tell you a secret. I think those guys back there, the ones that don't come out gated, they send out here. So I know we have some in our herd, and I know plenty of packers that do, and they might have a little bit of gated blood in them, and maybe they just didn't quite come out nice as a. You know, they didn't have the gates, right? So
maybe I need to talk to Rufus Reese and see if we can get him to send some.
Yeah,
gates.
Give him heck, would you?
I will do that.
Okay.
Well, tell us a little bit more about what's going on in Bishop Mule Days. Where do people stay? Well,
so,
what kind of accommodations or campground?
Yeah. So there's the town of Bishop is where most people stay, but I'll tell you, most hotels are almost booked. Are booked now. We just found out. So there are hotels in nearby communities of Mammoth Lakes, Big Pine, Independence. People just need to go on or call the Bishop Chamber of Commerce, and you just look them up online, bishopvisitor.com. But there are also lots of campgrounds. Most of the RV parks and campgrounds in town are full, but there's a number of them and easily found online. But they can call the Bishop Chamber for information on lodging. That might be the best point right now, because the office staff has moved out of our year-round office over to the temporary office at the fairgrounds, and it might be hard to get a hold of them for hotel reservations. So that's what I would do for that. As far as getting tickets for the event, we still have concert tickets left. You can always get grandstands are sold out, but we have general admission tickets. People can go online, muledays.org, and get everything they need there.
Okay. All right. Well, that is pretty cool. Now, and I think you were telling me that you are now streaming the event.
Yeah. So obviously people, I mean, if there's folks in China or Russia that want to watch this or anywhere in Europe or South America or anywhere else, we invite. Last year we did it as a trial run because we had capacity limits with the COVID. So we did a trial run and it was huge. We had the viewers from South America, Australia, Europe, and around North America. So go to the Mule Days website, muledays.org, and starting Friday night, we'll have live streaming of the major shows, so I should say, Gary, too, admission is free to everything, including the shows, and free to the grandstand or free to the fairgrounds, except for the concert. Obviously, there's a fee for that. And then the Friday night, Saturday shows, and Sunday afternoon shows are admission shows for ticket admission shows, but those will be live streamed at muledays.org.
Okay, that is so cool.
Yeah.
So just get your credit or debit card out and you can watch them. That's a cool thing.
And there'll be no fee for the live stream this year. We're just kind of boosting that up as a second year. And then, you know, next year we're going to have sponsors. Well, we have sponsors for it, but next year there might be a little monetary fee. But right now we just want people to have fun and watch the show.
Okay. Okay. All right. Great. Well, that is great. That is great. I was wondering, Jen, how many folks will actually be there for Mule Day? What's your normal attendance?
Yeah, our normal attendance ranges anywhere from 20 to 30,000. And of course, you know, this is most of the Eastern Sierra is public land. So, right, you have this little community of Bishop, and people will come to the shows or come to the fairgrounds off and on during the event and see different things. But then people are out exploring, and we call it our big backyard. So people are out having a great time. Maybe they can go hiking. Maybe they can take a short half-hour drive up to the high country. They can go fishing. There's so much to see and do here. So people will kind of incorporate all of that. So I don't want people to think that it's just jam-packed and it's too hard to get in and out. It's not that tough because we have a big backyard. But
oh, that's
as far
great.
As the parade, the events over the course of the week, about 30,000 people is where we max out.
Wow. Wow. That's still a pretty good number. Still a pretty good number.
For a little town of 4,000, pretty good.
That is pretty good. That is pretty good. I bet they look forward to that all year long to have it come
out. I think so.
Or not.
And you know, people.
Or not.
Well, we have a few folks that go, I don't know, here come the mule people again. But most people are pretty darn excited about Mule Days, and they love the visitors. Of course, the small businesses love it. You know, we're in a pretty rural area here. We're in what's called the other side of California. We're very sort of isolated from most of California by this 14,000-foot mountain range that runs up and down the north to south on the east side of the state. And we're a bit isolated, so we're about 3 hours north of maybe the far northern edge of Los Angeles, and we're about 3 hours south of Reno. And we have an airport, but right now commercial air service is suspended until the summer season kicks off. But people can fly into Las Vegas or Reno and then drive here, or they can, of course, drive here. Look us up on the map. We're easy to get to.
Oh, that's great. That is great. I do want to ask, and I meant to have you on the show to talk about this a little bit earlier because, you know, it's getting started right away. But for most folks, for 2023, when should they make reservations and when should they start buying tickets?
Yeah, good question. So we take reservations for RVs the last weekend of the show, so that's next weekend. And then because people really want to get their spot. But then after that, everything kind of on hold, and then we open up for reservations starting February 1st. And we have online or call the office. People can do, you know, they can order them online or they can call the office directly starting February 1st.
Okay. Well, for folks that are out there, you know, you're probably a little late this year.
Except if you're in the area. Yeah, if
you're in the area, or
if people have RVs, we still have some room at the camp at the fairgrounds. We have what we call dry camping. So all of the hookup sites are gone, but we do have dry camping, and we have all the services that are on the fairgrounds. They come and deliver water, pump tanks, do all that. So there's plenty of room for RVs still. That's right there on the fairgrounds. There's still tickets, like I said, for the Susie Boggess concert, and there's still room for general admission. And, of course, people can come watch the parade and look at the vendors and do all the kids programs do lots of things actually that are still available, so no problem.
Oh, that's great. That is great.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, if you're traveling a great distance, you know, you can start making your reservations in February. So that is so cool. Tell me a little bit, Jen. You and your husband have a packing outfit, don't you?
Well, yeah, we've both been in the packing business our entire lives. My husband now currently packs for the Forest Service, and I do, we actually have been in the packing business for a long, long time. I also pack for contracts, so I pack for the government a lot when they need remote packing in Forest Service areas or BLM areas, things like that. So, yeah, we've been packing mules our whole life.
All right. So if I had a few folks and we wanted to go packing out in your area, could we contact you and do that?
Oh, yeah. they would just want to go online to the website, it's McGeeCreekPackStation.com and get all the information right there.
All right. So be sure and check that out. And so do you still have Dave Stamey going out with you and picking the guitar around the campfire?
He still does that from time to time. He's a pretty popular guy. Whenever we can, he goes with another pack outfit that we love. My husband's family owned it for about 40 years and sold it to a longtime member of the founder's family, founder of the pack outfit. And they do a ride to an area called Bodie, and that's called Mammoth Lakes Pack Outfit. They go to Bodie, which is the old historic ghost town, California State Park, and Dave goes on that trip. So, yeah, that's a neat one for sure.
That is so cool. That is so cool. Well, everyone should put on their bucket list to hit the Bishop Mule Days at least once in your life, and you might as well make it either this year or next year, and be sure. And you know, I've got to do that.
You do.
I do that.
Absolutely.
I do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we'd love to be out there. Yeah, there we go. All right, so that's muledays.org. You can visit their website there and give us your packing website again.
McGeeCreekPackStation.com, McGee.
All right. So that is great. Well, listen, have a great event this year, Jen, and we look forward to talking with you again. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Gary. We hope to get you and your beautiful wife out here someday soon, and you guys enjoy that beautiful country back there.
All right. Thank you so much. Hey, this is Those Ears. This could be another Mule song. It's by the Dan Canyon Band. We'll be back in just a moment on Saddle Up America. Thanks, Jen.
Those ears, those lonesome ears,
Tears, that's the Mule song. This is the Dan Canyon Band. And so much fun talking with Jen today about Bishop Mule Days. If you've never been, you need to put that on your bucket list and make it out there at least once. And I tell you, I think it'd be worth the trip just to see that 20 mule team pulling that wagon. It was like unbelievable sight to be able to see something like that. But anyway, great to have Jen on the show today. And it's so much fun to have Chris and Jan join us on the Campfire Cafe, Rodeo and Juliet, such cool people and almost neighbors of ours back here in Nashville. I want to mention to you that Rendezvous 2022 is coming up September the 29th through October the 1st, and it is going to be fantastic. And we've got 3 days of trail riding. We have great music concerts. We've got a list of some of the performers now on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. Just in the menu bar, click on Rendezvous 2022. But we also have Craig Cameron's Extreme Cowboy Race that's going to be part of the event this year. And so that's the open event for the Craig Cameron's Extreme Cowboy Race, but we'll also have a division just for Mustangs. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And then great shopping with the vendors that will be showing up for Rendezvous 2022 as well. So visit our website, equestrianlegacy.net. In the menu bar, click on Rendezvous. We have everything that you need to know. We have reservations for the host hotel. We have registration for the Extreme Cowboy Race. We have everything that you need to know on there. Registration for our vendors are there as well. So check it out, equestrianlegacy.net, and click on Rendezvous in the menu bar. Well, Bobby is gone today, and she's a busy, busy girl. She'll be heading to visit her family a little bit later this week, so we wish them well. And she has no closing thoughts today because she's not here. So we're just going to wrap up this show and tell you that we thank you for joining us wherever in the world which you are, however you're listening to us, whether it's through our website for the live show, equestrianlegacy.net, or if it's on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, or iTunes to listen to the podcast of today's show. But we'll close this show out today with a good friend of ours, Tisha McKenna, and she has a new single out. It's called Big Sky Country. Let's take a listen to that, and we will see you next week on the Campfire Cafe beginning at noon Central Standard Time, followed by Saddle Up America.
I'm a child of the city, amid the sounds of impatience, the bustle of crowds, trying to get from point A to point B. A modern-day Cinderella, surrounded by all the finest life has to give. At least so it seems. Like living in a jungle of concrete, and now I'm trading. Goodbye, big city. Hello, big sky country. Where I'll be running free and daring the ponies to chase me in big sky country, where there's room to breathe and the miles open wide, where the set my eyes on the prairie and all the way to where the sky and the Rocky Mountains meet.
I wanna get my hands dirty. And at the end of the day, know what we have. We came by honestly. I wanna see all the colors at sunset and tuck my children at night near the blanket of stars. Goodbye, big city. Big Sky Country.